You see how awesome this mitzvah is. Leroy mitzvah reishit beis mitzvah yiras avayim. Leroy may of us to stand in awe of our parents. Kleimar she yisnai, what is the awe? She yisnai the odom of imo v'ovim to act with his parents. Han hogo shodom noigim ishi yiyori v'medo. A type of action, approach, attitude that I would have with a person that I stand in awe of. Shenamar ish ovi v'imo tiro. V'loshen safra izo umayro, lo yeshe b'mekomo, that I would not sit in his place, if he has a specific place. V'lo yedabra v'mekomo, and I would not speak where he's supposed to speak, to usurp him. V'lo soser es dvorov, and I would not contradict him. Which we saw already. The awesome connection between Kibbur Av and the Mezmer Av and Kveid Shemayim. That we saw. Now, B'dinei HaMitzvah, how far does this mitzvah go? Masha Omru Zichrono L'Vracha and Heichan Meiros Avayim. How far is Meir Avayim? And I presume that this is not nichlal and kibbut. Kibbut is to provide them with the personal needs that they have. Machilo, mashkeyo, etc. Personal needs. Meiro, something else. Shafilo, we call, v'yorku, b'fono, v'yachlu, meisam. If his parent came to him and his parent slapped him in public and spit in his face, it's lo yachlu, meisam. He would not insult him. V'avo, pikein, tzivu, chachamim, l'val yachka, odim, b'rayagotl. Chazal still implored us that we should not hit a child who's grown. Now, grown is not in any specific age. It's according to the temperament of the child. Why? Because if you slap a child, and the child is of a certain temperament, the child might fight back. And they'll be over very severe isura. And therefore, the parent is in violation of lifnei yivra l'sitin michshon. Umenadin al-kach. And Chazal even put in Chayram a person, that a parent that was, for this particular reason, that was too strict with his children, and therefore could bring forth such violations of the halacha, Umenad Malkach. Now, the Omru Zichoynam Levrocha, the Chaymer Mitzvah Zu, Shafilu Nitra for Dasa Ovaim, even if unfortunately they lost their minds. The child should act with them, they're covered in a respectful fashion, which is consistent with their seichel. That could vary, I mean, depending upon exactly how the person acts, what the person understands, doesn't understand, etc.
So it depends on how the parent understands, or it really depends on...
How depending on the parent, it has to be addressed to what the parent understands.
For example,
in
a case where a parent is
seen
on...
Good, but there's still certain things...
Still, you should get up when they walk into the room.
Yes, yes, but in other words...
They're not going to understand.
Yeah, but there's certain things, in other words, which are attuned to where a person's at. We have to react to the person as they are. And that's the fidaito. That's what he means. The covet or the moira that we have for a person that's well is different. The person that's not well has different needs. We have to address those needs. I'm not even sure that that's the right answer. I'm not sure that that's the right answer. The right answer might be in his presence to respect what he wants to the extent possible. That's probably the right answer. Yeah. That's what's respectful for him according to the state that he's in. What? I didn't say tell him to make Kiddush. My point was that if he thinks that people is upset that people are touching muktzah and he thinks they're not supposed to touch muktzah, you don't touch muktzah in his presence, even though it's Tuesday. That's, I think, the feed item. That's what he means. Avolim nishtatu b'yoyser, if they become severely demented, Yochul lahanicham, then he has the right to leave them. V'tzava acherem aleihem lanhigam karoi, and to hire others to take care of them. Im yeshlo, if he has the means, in other words, to provide for them. Really, he's not, a child is not obligated to support his parents. But a child that has means, and the parents don't have means, then the halacha insists that he extend himself to take care of them. Now, how far this goes, we're going to see. This is, for something we're going to do later, this is really, the story itself is peripheral. But the story is important in its own right. So I'll read the story to you. Gemara states the following. This is in Kedushin Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Rav Asi Havalei Ahi'imus Kena. He had a very elderly mother. And she had some unusual requests of him. Omrolei Be'ino Tachshitin. She said, I want jewelry, nice jewelry. Okay. So Ovad Lo. So he went, he got a nice jewelry. But didn't end with that. What did she ask next? The Ina Gavra, she says, I want to get remarried. You know, this is a woman, she wants to be remarried, that's her desire. But she was really not in such a state that she could get married anymore. So he told her, Na'ayin Lecha, so she said, I'll look for someone, you know, that's appropriate for you. And then he told, then she said, Bina Gavra, the Shaper Kabosos, I want someone as handsome as you are. So the Gemara says, Shofka, they lived in Bobo, he left her, but also the Arabi Yisrael, and he went off to Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon adds here, why did he leave? So the Vilna Gaon says the reason that he left is because he understood that the Terefas Halisah, she had become a senile, and therefore he saw that he could not, she'll make such demands of him that he'll never be able to live up to those demands. So he felt he has no choice, but he has to leave. He goes there to Yisrael, and he hoped that this would put an end to the problem. But Shoma the Ka'azla Basri, he heard that she's coming from Bovel there to Yisrael. Now realize this is not the year 2006. When you get on the plane and from Bovel there to Yisrael, in an hour you'd be in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, the rigors of the journey, she obviously was of advanced age, and in fragile health, but she undertook us on the Eretz Yisrael, she's going to Eretz Yisrael. So this rather alarmed him. Is also the comment of Rabbi Yochanan, he went back to Rabbi Yochanan, and Omalei Ma'u Lotis Ma'aretz L'chutz L'aretz. I mean, allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go back to Chutz L'aretz. Now, it seems to be, the way some of the Mefarshim learn, that he understood this to mean that he wants to go back to take care of his mother. Is he allowed to go back to Chutz L'aretz? Omalei Osra. First he asked him, just in general, to leave Eretz Yisrael. He's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. How about Likras Ima? How about if I want to go to take care of my mother? So Mahu, what's the din? So Omalei Eini Yadeya. I don't know. I don't know what the halach is. Israch Porta, Rav Asi waited a short while. And Hodar Osra. And he came back again to ask Rabbi Yochanan again. Omalei. So Rabbi Yochanan saw in his persistence that he came back again. Nisratzeisa lotzeis. I see that you want to leave Eretz Yisrael. Hamokom yachsirecho l'sholom. The Rishayla what hamokom yachsirecho l'sholom means. One interpretation of that is, Rashi says, Nisratzeis lotzeis. He thought he wants to go back to Babel to take care of his mother. He's going to leave Eretz Yisrael permanently. So he told him, this was not a wish that he should come back to Eretz Yisrael, but rather, you have a difficult and arduous journey to make to go back from Eretz Yisrael to Babel in that time and those conditions. So therefore, the Rabbanu Shalom should grant you Shalom, that you should have a peaceful and tranquil journey and arrive safely in Babel. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. So also the Kamad Rabbi Elazar. So he now came, before he leaves, he goes to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Asi, and he was concerned that perhaps that Rabbi Yochanan was upset with him. That the fact that he came back, and Rabbi Yochanan said, oh, you're going there to Yisrael, as Amokim Yachzirech al-Shalom, was being dismissive, really. And Rabbi Yochanan was upset with him. So Omalei, also the comment of Omalei Chasr Shalom Duma Mirsach Rosach, perhaps he's angry at me that I wanted to leave Eretz Yisrael. Omalei my omalecho. So Rabbi Loza asked him, tell me, what did he tell you? So Omalei hamokum yachzirecho l'sholom. Omalei v'im isa derosach l'havim v'vorach l'cha. One thing I could tell you about Rabbi Loza, if he was upset with you, he wouldn't have given you a brocha. He would have departed without a brocha. The fact that he gave you a brocha is indicative of the fact that he acquiesced. So apparently he sets off now to go. He lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he's on the way back. He heard that she passed away, and her Arum was being brought to Eretz Yisrael. And he'd already left Eretz Yisrael. Omer Yadi, if I would have known that I wouldn't have arrived there during her lifetime, is Lo Nafki, I wouldn't have left Eretz Yisrael. So apparently, even though there's a mitzvah to give a kavod la'achamei of Esrim, but for that purpose, he wouldn't have left Eretz Yisrael. He would have waited, apparently. He either would have let her be buried there, or he would have waited until she arrived in Eretz Yisrael. That's the story. Now, we're going to look at this from the standpoint of the right to leave Eretz Yisrael for the purpose of mitzvahs kibud avei. That's the standpoint. We're going to come back to this story. But the story in and of itself is a very striking story. How a great Amorah of Asi struggled with the mitzvah of kibbutzim. His mother's requests were, let's put it mildly, outlandish. And nevertheless, he endeavored to meet them as much as possible. When he realized that she reached the point that she now suffered from senility and dementia, and it just was not possible to deal with anymore, so he said he only has one thing to do. That's what we saw in the Sefer, Achinuch, that Avolim Nishtatu B'Yaisu Yochol Hanicham Mitzavu L'Acherim Aleim L'Hanicham. Apparently he must have left her in the care of others. He didn't have been not here. And Im Yeshlof, he's capable of doing so. And apparently when he realized those things had reached such proportions that that care no longer sufficed, that he'd arranged, and now she was apparently not under proper care anymore, because now she took off, and she's on the way from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. At this age, in an infirm and in poor health, so what did Rav Asi do? Rav Asi realized he has no choice, he's going to go back to Chutz Lars to take care of her. As difficult as it is, but apparently his attempt to care through others, it ended in failure. So he was willing to engage the mitzvah again, as difficult as it is. And then the mitzvah, at that point, the mitzvah ended. So it's instructive of how grave the responsibility is and how he struggled. He attempted on one hand initially to deal with it. It reached finally such a point, as the Gra writes, they denoted Matur Ephesosa, and that's a citation from the Rambam, that she had lost her mind. And therefore he felt overwhelmed, that he would not properly be able to meet her needs, and he would be in violation. Apparently, in the Sefer HaChinuch of Meiraim, it's not Kibbutz, of Meiraim, he left. And he left her apparently in the care of others. When he realized that the care of others no longer sufficed, and that she was putting herself in a situation which probably was dangerous for her, in all probability, so what did he do? Rather than have her just sit back in Eretz Yisrael and say, it's not my responsibility, he endeavored to go back to Chutz Lars so that his mother would not undertake this journey to Eretz Yisrael. This is the struggle that's involved. Aging is not an easy task. And it's not easy for the person, and it's not easy for those that have to deal with the aging. In a very somber remark, the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, had a Talmud who was an American, who lived in the United States. I don't know if he was Polish or American, but he lived in the United States. And he was a successful businessman. And one day he heard that the Chofetz Chaim had become very old and frail and wasn't well. So he decided he can't just allow this to pass by without seeing his Rebbe again. So he left his business, and he sailed for Europe, and he arrived. It was a difficult journey, not so easy to sail to Europe, but then to travel overland. Radin wasn't exactly Warsaw. Finally arrives in Warsaw, he comes to the Chofetz Chaim. And Chofetz Chaim sees him there, and he's rather surprised. He knows his Talmud is a businessman in the United States. What in the world is he doing in Raten? So he asks him, what brings you here? So the Talmud tells him, I heard that the Rebbe became very old, and I wanted to see the Rebbe. So the Chofetz Chaim told him, a shoddan kumen. You wasted your time and your money getting here. You should have better stayed in America. Then the Chofetz Chaim thought for a moment, and he says, I'll tell you, if he came to see what happens to a person in their elderly years, he said, could I read it if he came? Aging at all times and all places is very difficult to deal with. I do not know a single person that has seriously dealt with it, that has not struggled awesomely in how to fulfill this mitzvah. And kibbut is a halbitzah, that's difficult enough. But the truth is, as we get older, kibbut is easier and easier to do. As we get older and we mature. To provide for the basic, their basic needs, as we mature and we're no longer children, we find it a lot easier to take care of that problem. And the real problem, when it comes to issues of merah, is how to deal with them despite their frailties, how to deal with them despite themselves. And when they want to do things which are not positive for their health and their well-being. When they do things which, because of deteriorating states, are irrational. How we deal with those things. And that's the challenge of merah, which far transcends the difficulties of kibbutz. Far transcends the difficulties of kibbutz. And there are no answers, no simple answers. The answer is that it's a struggle. And I'm not so sure that it's much different. The Medrash relates, the Parshas told us, that in the childhood of Yaakov and Esau, they both seemed very, very similar. And the Moshel gives a medrash of two different types of bushes which were intertwined. One which was extremely beneficial. Imagine one that provides penicillin and one that provides poison. But when you look at them externally, if you're not a botanist, you don't bring them to the library, they look exactly the same. And they're growing together all intertwined. You can't detect the difference between them. Suddenly in their maturity, one provides penicillin, samachayim, saves millions of lives, and one provides samamopus, and the rotchim go and they kill millions of people with it too. So the Medrash says this was Yaakov and Esau. They grew up intertwined. If you looked at them, you could not see the difference between them. They both seemed to be headed in exactly the same course. When suddenly, when they reached maturity, one brought life to the world, and one was a murderer, Esau. So, the next statement the Medrash makes is, therefore, consequently, until Bar Mitzvah, a person should be mechanech his children. And when they reach the age of Bar Mitzvah, he should say, Baruch Shev Torani Me'oin Shor Shozeh. That's where this bracha comes from. What's the meaning of this bracha, Baruch Shev Torani Me'oin Shor Shozeh? There are many mitzvahs that are hard to do. I didn't notice in the first page of the Haggadah of Pesach that before Kiddush, you know, Pesach is a wonderful yontif. If only we didn't have to prepare for it. Once you get up to the Seder, it's great, but the problem is getting there. So I didn't notice in the first page of the Haggadah, it says before Kiddush, that Yamid Kol HaMishpacha, and particularly the Balabustan, so should say Baruch Shev Torani Me'ayim Shol Shozeh of all the Acharas for Pesach. I didn't see it. To buy a lulav and Esther is sometimes a daunting challenge. It's you don't say Baruch Shev Torani Me'ayim Shol Shozeh. So a person did a mitzvah. It's a difficult mitzvah. So what do we say? We say Shechiyonu, V'Yimonu, V'Yimonu, L'Azman HaZeh. We thank the Rabbeinu Shalom, and that we were Zeicha to do the mitzvah. What's this Baruch Shev Torani Me'ayim Shol Shozeh? But the Medrash indicates, I don't believe it's a bracha, and I think that's the reason we make it without Shem HaMachos. The Medrash says, it follows through on what took place with Yaakov and Esau. Therefore, what ought we to do if a Yitzchak could raise a Yaakov and an Esav? And they both look the same. And it's only at the point of maturity that we suddenly realize two vastly different creatures. That what should a person do? Is until the age of our mitzvah, we mechanach them. And after our mitzvah, we say, Baruch Shem Taranim, Anin Shor Shozer, is a humble acknowledgement that when it comes to chinuch habonim, we can never fulfill our responsibilities. Do we know what our responsibilities are? We try, we endeavor. Are we supposed to be strict with this child in this situation, loving with this child? How do I handle this situation? Did we do it right? Did we do it wrong? There are no answers that can satisfy us. We never know. And therefore, all the America tell us is, what do we do with chinuch? We struggle with it. When we're finished with the task, or a major part of the task, we just say, Rabbanu Shalom, I can't stand before you. I can't tell you that I fulfilled this mitzvah properly. Who knows? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Do I know? It's Baruch Shem Taranim, Anin Shor Shozer, a mitzvah that I can never be sure if I fulfilled, which is a struggle throughout. So at least I'm happy in one regard that I have a little bit less of a struggle with this mitzvah at this point in time. And I'm not so sure that the struggle of the care of elderly parents is much different. It's a mitzvah that we never know. From day to day, we don't know. Are we doing what's right? Are we doing what's wrong? In real terms, their independence is very important to older people. Very important to older people. And yet, at what point are we turning a blind eye to the fact that they're putting themselves in danger? And if we push too far in the other direction, so maybe we rob them of their independence. Who is the Shlomo HaMelech to know exactly where that line is? Very, very difficult to know. And I believe that's the coup that the Gemara is trying to make. The demands are awesome. The answers, we struggle as frail human beings to attempt to understand as best we can, but only as best we can. Let's go back to the Sefer HaChinuch. Yeah. I mean, that's why, just before this in the Gemara says a very awesome statement. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ashrei Mi Shalei Chamon. This is an achama to a person that never saw his parents. Unfortunately, there are people that never saw their parents in this world. So Rabbi Yochanan said that there are some things in life that we don't look for. But if we have them, with all the negatives that come with them, there are some positives too. And if unfortunately a person harvests the negatives, a person has to be at least aware of the positives too. To put it in very practical terms, and then we'll come back to the Gemara. A person does not see, as one as we're not in the Madrega. Gemara tells us of Tanoim that asked the Rabbeinu Shalom, they wanted to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom with Toch Yisur. They wanted to physically have difficulty in this world, to be Oyver Hashem from the midst of their physical difficulties. We're not in the Madrega to come and ask the Rabbeinu Shalom that our Avodah needs to be on a higher level and we should be Ovid B'Toch Yisrael. We're not on the Madrega for that. But Lo Aleinu, if the Rabbeinu Shalom does afflict us, so what attitude do we have to have? The attitude that we have to have is within the circumstances, Rabbeinu Shalom, I would be more than happy if in the next second from now you remove this problem from me and I'll live without it. And a lot happier than I'm living now. But as long as Min HaShemayim, you've dictated that I will live with this problem, as long as the problem persists. So within that problem, I'll be Oyver Hashem Mitoch Ahava, as difficult as it may be. But I'll appreciate the fact that now I'm going to be Oyver Hashem with difficulty. I don't seek the difficulty, but the difficulty is it's hard for me to do a particular mitzvah due to the situation, the circumstances that I'm in. But I will be Oyver Hashem in those circumstances, be Ava, and appreciate the fact that I have the opportunity to do a mitzvah with difficulty. Do I seek the opportunity? No, I don't seek that opportunity. But if it's here and I can't escape it, then I will appreciate the fact that I have the ability to struggle to do a difficult mitzvah and to do it mitzvah. And in that regard, Rabbi Yochanan says a person that was born without parents is one of life's most profound tragedies. Allah, you know, a person that never saw his parents. But Rabbi Yochanan says, on one regard, Ashrei mi shelo chamor. And Rabbi Yochanan was talking about himself. The great Rabbi Yochanan, the greatest of the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, was talking about himself. Is that in one regard, praised is the one that hasn't seen his parents. Rabbi Yochanan ki avroso imo, after his mother conceived, meis ovav, his father died. Yoldosoi, and in childbirth, meisa imo, his mother died. Rabbi Yochanan of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, that Rabbi Yochanan. Never saw his parents. But on one hand, he said, one thing I didn't have to worry about in life, was to struggle with this awesome mitzvah of Kibbutz and Meraav.
But the one that
did
bring him up, really
happened. That's just a cover that you give to them, but that's not the same. It's different. Yechein Abaye is another figure in the Shas that came from a similar background. That also, he never knew his parents either. He was raised by Rab. So it was Aini, this is untrue. Omra Abaya, Omra Li Ain. We have many times Abaya used to quote folk wisdom from his mother, Chochmas and Shas. So the Gemara says, Ahumar Benisa Havoy. This was, in fact, his stepmother, the woman that raised him. This was not, he did not actually have a mother. So to this extent, Rabbi Yochanan and Rashi tells us, she efshel kaim kvaidim b'chol ha-tzorah. It's inconceivable that we'll fulfill this mitzvah to the nth degree. U'nena shalayim. And I might be, the Rabbeinu Shalayim may take me to task for it. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm happy at least in that regard. One nechama, my nechama is that I didn't have to struggle with this mitzvah. Rabbi Yochanan obviously did not ask to be in this situation, would have wished it to be otherwise. But now that the Rabbeinu Shalayim placed him in this situation, so his response was, at least I gained something from it. That's how difficult the mitzvah is. And we're talking with a person of spiritual greatness, of the stature of Rabbi Yochanan. So he was overawed by the responsibilities of this mitzvah. Now I'd like to take a look at the first piece in the Minchas Chirah, Leroy Meha'avis, Ken Kosuk Haram, etc. Ayin Kedushin on the third line, Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Gabar Rabbi Asi, the solo Knerit Yisrael, Achas Man Shomad Ozlo Ime Abasra, that his mother is going to leave Bovel and ascend to Eretz Yisrael as well. B'shoal Rabbi Yochanan, in Mutu Lotzis Mishum Kibar Eim Eretz Yisrael Chutu, to the Alaragam. Rabbi Yochanan Eshivo, then Yodeya, he doesn't know. Rab Asi Holach, and Rav Asi went. Ayin Shom, the Nero, the mortal, the mutilos is married to Olachut Zalor to show kibbut. It would seem that for the purposes of kibbut aim, or kibbut av, one is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. For Rambam, lohevi din zeh v'chuchus moloch. Now, there's a parallel Gemara to this, and that's what I want to read to you as well, the Gemara of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Gimel, talks about what circumstances allow a person to leave Eretz Yisrael. Talking to, and perhaps not even to necessarily to come back. Not just on a temporary basis. So the Gemara says the following. But Tanya Holchen, the Rachel of the Kachovim, the one may go to a fair which is sponsored by non-Jews. V'lochen mehem behema avodim v'shvochis, one may buy from them animals, slaves, bought them fields with Soda Sakramim, the Kaisa Humaila Barko Shalahem, and one can register these business deals in the non Jewish courts. In the Shun Kamatal Miyoda. Because if you don't go to court and you don't register the deals, they can come later and deny that the deal took place and you lose your money. So therefore, even though it involves going to the courts run by Ovdei Kachavim, I'm allowed to register these deals in those courts. If the person is a kohen, metamei b'chutzal aretz, a kohen normally, midin rabbanon is not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. And that is why, because chutzal aretz, the Gemara tells us, is tamei as compared to Eretz Yisrael. And if a kohen is not allowed to become tummy, he's not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Lartz. But nevertheless, he's allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Lartz, lodun al aron imam, to go to court, to sue for money that's owed to him, or sue for property. And just as he may go to this purpose to Chutz Lartz, he's allowed to enter a cemetery. Gemara says this is a little inconceivable. The tumah of Chutz Lartz is a tumah of midrabanan. So there they were makel, so a person could protect his rights. But the Beis HaKvaros, Al Kedaitos, that's tumah deraisa. There's going to be tumah min haTorah. And that for money, you can't go to a Beis HaKvaros. El Beis HaPras, derabanan. A place where there once had been a kever, and it was plowed over, and we don't know exactly where the kever is. It was disrupted in the area surrounding it. So midrabanan, there's certain prohibitions to go in that area. And for the purposes of a kohen, if he has to go for these reasons, he lets it be makel to go through. The other reasons as well, the shas allows a kohen to go through such a place, which is only has two midrabanan. Umitame, and even if it becomes hame, and also lil my Torah b'lisa yusha. And apparently he's allowed to either go through these areas, even if it will become Tameh, or to go to Chutz Lartz for the sake of Lisa Isha B'lul Matar. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai, under what circumstances can he go to Chutz Lartz? Bizman Shein Lomotze Lulmut. He can't find, there's nobody teaching Torah in Eretz Yisrael. They can't get into Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. If he finds a yeshiva that will accept him as a Talmud in Eretz Yisrael, is ain't a matamid. He has no right to go to Chutz Lartz. Rabbi Yosi says the following: Afilu bezman shemaytzi lilmoid yitamid. He could be matamid himself and go to Chutz Lartz. Bishen odom zochel lilmoid mikol. A person not zeicha to learn from everyone. Just because the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael wants to take him in doesn't mean that that's the place of succeed in learning. You know, maybe he needs a different rabbi, a different Rosh Shiva. Rosh Shiva in Eretz Yisrael, well, let him into the yeshiva, but he's not going to succeed there. And Omer Rav Yosi, Maisa Rav Yosef HaKoyen, he was a Koyen, Shaholach Acharabo LeTzidon Nilmoy Torah. His rabbi lived in Tzidon. Tzidon is in Lebanon, north of Eretz, outside Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yosef HaKoyen went to study under his Rebbe in, because it was his Rebbe. In other words, there were others he could have learned from in Eretz Yisrael, but he followed his Rebbe to Tzidon. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha to Rabbi Yosef. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yosef. So from here we see that a person could, Rabbi Yosi paskened, and Rabbi Yochanan himself said the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, that one could leave Eretz Yisrael for the sake of Talmud Torah and the sake of marriage. Now, why is it then when it came to the sake of Kibbut Eim that the Gemara and Kedushin Rabbi Yochanan himself was unsure what the din is? That was rather interesting, just as an aside, a very interesting aside. The Yaivetz, in his commentary on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, tells us, we only find the disputes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi concerning a Talmud going to learn in Yeshiva. If the Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that will accept him, can he go to Chutz Lartz to learn in a different Yeshiva? But we don't find the parallel discussion about marriage. Suppose a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he could find someone that will marry him in Eretz Yisrael, but he wants to go to Chutz Lartz to look for a shidduch. What's the din? So, is he allowed to leave? Does Rabbi Yehuda also say he can't leave under those circumstances? So the Yaivet says no. Everyone agrees. Because you can't just marry anyone. I'll be din. You have to marry a person that you're compatible with, that you'll be pleased with. It's also to marry a person that you really won't be compatible with. And therefore, we can't tell a person just because there's somebody that could hypothetically marry you in Eretz Yisrael that that's the right one for you. So when it comes to marriage, marriage is the ultimate hetter of the Eretz Yisrael. Now, interestingly, there's a Tosfos here, and this Tosfos is a very curious Tosfos to me. Tosfos writes the following: Luma Torah Belisa Isha Perish. So Tosfos writes, "V'dayto lachzor l'Eretz Yisrael." Tosas learns Pshat in the Gemara that he intended to come back there to Yisrael. Ultimately, Dilo ain't died to Lach to Omer B'Ksubas Perak Beis. Because the Gemara says if a person leaves and he didn't intend to come back, is Ochiv Shalze Nosa Ovedes Kachovim Umeis is Baruch Hamoko Im Shahorgo. He, this guy's brother, married a Goita, and the Rebbe Hashem killed him. Baruch Hashem v'zeyor Achrab L'Chutz La'aretz. And now this guy's following him to Chutz La'aretz. You see, Chazal were not very pleased with the idea of a person going to live in Chutz La'aretz. So Tosas says these people were meant to go only temporarily. That's Tosas' interpretation. V'dafka b'hanach mitzvahs, Tosas says, it's only these mitzvahs, shein chashuvos, which are very choshev, l'ilmud Torah, shegodol talmud Torah, shemevi l'idei ma'aseh. The ultimate mitzvah in the Torah is talmud Torah. That a person is supposed to have children in this world. It's a major mitzvah. But the shor mitzvah is low. For the purpose of other mitzvahs, a person is not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael. At least as a general statement, you might say. And it's similar, this is mash from the fourth parak in Megillah. But Rav Acha was one of the Goyner. Beferish, Hanach Tekilei. That these two mitzvahs of Talmud Torah and marriage are the least stringent, but kol shekein the shor mitzvah shem chashuvas, which are even more chashuv. That a halacha does not assume the state of the shulchan. The halacha in the shulchan aruch, but. We don't make the Shulchan Aruch says Talmud Torah is godel the Kibbutz Avayim. It's greater than Kibbutz Avayim. Now that suggests. Now, if we learn part of the problem that we have, if we're going to learn like the Shultas that the other mitzvahs are greater than Talmud Torah and marriage, then why is it? So this is the problem of the Sefer Achinuch, Minchas Chinuch. Then why did Rabbi Yochanan allow someone to leave for marriage and for Talmud Torah? And he said, when it came to Kibbutz Eim, he says, I don't know the difference. So let's go back now to the Sefer, to the Minchas Chinuch. I am from the Rura, the Mutter, Lotus, Merit, Sol, Lechutz, Lorz, Veshul, Kibbutz. I am betoises, Avoy, the Zor, the Daitim, the Dafkalum, a Torah, release the Isha, Ashoi, Lotus, Avolo, the Shor, Mitzvahs, not for other Mitzvahs. Ve'viyu b'shem ha-shiltis, and those who cited the shiltis, the chol shekein, the shor mitzvahs, or shai lotzis. Other than what Tosfos says, that if you can leave for these mitzvahs, then for all mitzvahs you can leave. And we know Rabbi Yochanan tzfuki b'sabkalei, in the Gemara introduction, Rabbi Yochanan was unsure what the din is. Rav Asi nirolo d'muti g'das ha-shiltis. Rav Asi said it's certainly muta. B'tzorochi and shalom, v'yu raya mishas dilon. What happened to this Gemara? Rabbi Yochanan Atma Omar Bavu Dezor, the halacha of Rabbi Yossi, that you were allowed to leave for the purpose of marriage and for the purpose of learning, even if you have a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. V'kam b'kedushin Omar Rabbi Yochanan De'ena Yodea, that I don't know the din. V'nira the laf kol shekin ukedas ha-shulta. So it must be said from that, that these mitzvahs are indeed greater than other mitzvahs, Talmud Torah, and marriage, and therefore, there Rabbi Yochanan said, I'm sure you're allowed to leave. Kibbutz Avayim is not as great as Talmud Torah and marriage, and therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm not sure what to do. Rabbi Asi said, I'm still sure that it was for this mitzvah, is that great? You're allowed to leave for this mitzvah too. But if we took the view of the Shultas, that Talmud Torah and marriage are the least of the mitzvahs, and Kol Shekein the other mitzvahs, then Kibbutz Avayim is certainly an awesome mitzvah. Then if Rabbi Yochanan allowed a person to leave Eretz Yisrael for this, how could he not allow him to leave Eretz Yisrael for the sake of Kibbutz Avayim? That the truth is, we can answer this problem on the. Let's deal with this step by step. So in effect, he's asking a kash on the shultas. That the shultas is kosher against shor mitzvahs, and yet Rabbi Yochanan was misupik. Now the way Rashi learns, though, I would point out, his kash is not a kasha. Because Tosfos said that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is talking to leave Eretz Yisrael temporarily, and one intended to go back. But Rashi learns Pshat in the Gemara in Kedushin that what was the intention of Rav Asi? To leave permanently. It's a whole different shayla. That has nothing to do. The Shultis is only saying a kol shekein. If we follow through according to Tosa's line of reasoning, that a person wants to temporarily leave Eretz Yisrael, if he can leave for Talmud Torah and marriage, then he can leave kol shekein, he can leave temporarily for other mitzvahs. Rabbi Yochanan Shaila in the Gemara Kedushin, according to the Rashi, was to leave permanently. He was intending to settle again and stay there for who knows how many years. And who knows if he'd ever have the chance to return. It's a whole different story. That's what Rashi learns in Kedushin, that he understood. That's it. He didn't give him his bracha. It wasn't that you'll come back again to Eretz Yisrael. His bracha, you should settle, peacefully arrive in your destination in Chutz La'aretz. So therefore, I don't think it's a kasher. I don't think that the Minchas Chinuch's question is a question. He's comparing a little bit apples and oranges, because Tosas learns the Gemara by the Zoras when you intend to come back, and Rashi learns the Gemara and Kedushas when you don't intend to come back. Now, also, I want to, what is the meaning, and this is very puzzling, that the Shulta says that Talmud Torah in marriage, kol shekein shor mitzvahs. What's the pshat? What do you mean kol shekein shor mitzvahs? Why kol shekein shor mitzvahs?
Why is it the lowest?
Well, we say Talmud Torah is connected kulam. Talmud Torah is connected kulam. So, it could be, there are two possibilities. Simply, if you want to take a very simple approach, and then maybe a bit more a more lumdish approach, a simple approach would say the following, that these mitzvahs, al korchach, a person could fulfill an Eretz Yisrael. But you can say that I can't learn in Eretz Yisrael. There's no means, there's no possibility of learning in Eretz Yisrael. There's no possibility of getting married in Eretz Yisrael. So, you're not so comfortable with it, but who says that your comfort, your discomfort, is necessarily measured in terms of the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to learn. You know, I would like to eat steaks while I learn too. I'm not so comfortable when I don't eat steak for dinner. If I'm going to live in Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to eat chicken. So therefore, I can say I'm going to go to Chutz La'aretz as part of Talmud Torah. A part of eating steak, which is it? So that's one possibility we can mean in that regard. That these mitzvahs, a person could certainly fulfill in Eretz Yisrael. People get married in Eretz Yisrael, people learn in Eretz Yisrael. There are mitzvahs that I may not have the chance to do in Eretz Yisrael. There may be other circumstances, a mitzvah that I need to take care of, whatever it is, that in Chutz La'aretz, that I don't necessarily have the opportunity to do. Yeah, Kibbut Avayim, let's say a person's first parents live in Chutz La'aretz. He doesn't have that app. He can't alone go fulfill Kibbut Avayim in Eretz Yisrael. His parents don't live there. What's he supposed to do? There may be a chesed, it's someone that needs his help. There's a yid in Chutz La'aretz that has difficulty. I'm a person of influence. I know if I come to that place, I can help him out. Right? He's about to become homeless. But I know I have influence. I'll speak to a guy that I know, a fellow that owns an apartment house. And he has empty apartments, so he's not going to give it to him. But if I come, and I come to the guy's office, and especially if he sees I came all the way from Eretz Yisrael, and I knock on his door, and he knows me, he says, Rabbi, what do you want? I said, listen, I have a problem. I have this ED. He's going to be homeless. I need a favor. Put him in one of empty apartments. I think of all the goodness. And I know he's not going to say no to me. Good. So I have to go to Chutz La'aretz for that reason. When I come, and I'm not going to do it, I'll come to his office. I know he's going to listen to me. So I can't say, let me sit in Eretz Yisrael. This yid needs a teiva. And I can do the teiva, but I can't do it sitting in Yerushalayim. I have to come to Chutz La'aretz, go to New York, and go to the guy's house and knock, make an appointment, knock on the door and say, Rabbi, what brings you to Yerushalayim? When I tell him what brought me from Yerushalayim, then our korchach is going to say, yeah. He's going to give in to me. So good. So you can't say, sit in Eretz Yisrael. That's one possibility, what the Shultz means. There are many mitzvahs. These mitzvahs you could do in Eretz Yisrael. I'm wondering if in a more lomdish sense, I would hope that the first pshat is the right pshat. The second pshat could be that both of these mitzvahs are mitzvahs which in certain times, in certain situations, a person could be exempt. It's not mechuyif to do. Marriage is not a precise time that a person, under certain circumstances, a person can keep putting off marriage. It doesn't have to take place here and now. The halacha is not in favor, but at times we allow a person to put off getting married for varied circumstances. At times, under difficult conditions, a person is essentially potter for most Talmud Torah because of certain einsim in life. Let's say, for example, a person has a situation that it's extremely difficult to support his family, and he has to work very arduously to support them. So the halacha says that he can be mekayim Talmud Torah by saying Shema Yisrael once in the morning and once at night. That's, we don't strive for that. The chas v'shalom that a person should come to that in life. But have people seriously and honestly come to such? Yes, it's happened. I mean, there was a man here Shabbos. I spoke to him, Mr. Sherman, the Lezayin Gesund. He's just turned 83. I spoke to him about it. Well, his son told him, what was his bar mitzvah? What was his bar mitzvah? Eddie told me, what was his bar mitzvah? His bar mitzvah was he got an aliyah Thursday morning. They made a l'chaim, a little cake after the davening Thursday, and then he ran back to work at the age of 13. Why? Because the poverty was so crushing that he couldn't survive without that. So at times a person is, there are exterior circumstances. Lo aleinu, we should never come to such circumstances, that a person is essentially, has a very minimal requirement for Talmud Torah. So maybe in that sense, the shul just means there are other mitzvahs are greater in that regard. There are certain mitzvahs we cannot potter from. There's no way we can be potter from. So perhaps that's what he means. I don't know. Just as a possibility. I'll call upon him. The Gemara was machriya, that kibud av va'em, Rav Asi was machriya, that a person could leave Eretz Yisrael permanently for that reason. Not just temporarily, permanently. If that's what's necessary for him to take care of aging parents, that he can leave Eretz Yisrael on a permanent basis. This is, for those that want to live in Eretz Yisrael today, is one of the very, very big struggles and questions. At a shochet in Eretz Yisrael, Olav HaShalom, his wife, and is still living, those is not gesund. He was a lifelong quest of his to come to Eretz Yisrael. And he finally came to Eretz Yisrael in his old years. What kept him back? He was a neighbor of ours in the United States, and then he lived a half a flight up from us in Eretz Yisrael. What kept him out of Eretz Yisrael all the years? I think he had an elderly aunt that he used to take care of. And there was no one else. She had no family to take care of her. So he could not leave Chutz La'aretz. As much as he desired throughout his life to live in Eretz Yisrael, and his family wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, but he had a responsibility. And that kept him for many years in Chutz La'aretz. Until after May of Esrim, then he picked himself up and he went off to Eretz Yisrael. So when and where is a very, very difficult question, and that we see. It gives us a little insight, Rabbi Yisai, into the struggle of what this mitzvah is. Ashrei, the one that has the ability still to be Isaac in this mitzvah. You know, for those that don't, so we have to share the nechama of Rabbi Yochanan, that at least we don't have responsibility for a very difficult mitzvah. One that undoubtedly none of us can say be fulfilled properly. But a look at the halacha is very, very sobering in terms of just bringing us in touch with the responsibilities, with what the halacha expects of us. I offer no simple answers because there aren't simple answers. I'll go to the very end of the Sefer HaChinuch. When Oheges B'chomokom of the Chol's man, there are no limitations in time and place to this mitzvah, but Scharim and Akevas, whether for males or females. There are certain differences. There is one difference. The Gemara relates in Kedushin, and that Lamed, Amud Beis, the Gemara says the following, that it says, Ish avi v'imai tiro. So why does it write Tana Rabbanan? On one hand, we have the following: Kol mitzvah sa'avim will tell us ala ben lasos l'aviv, any mitzvah that a child has to do for his father is echad anoshim beechad noshim chayov. Tanina lohodet tana rabbanon ish ein li yale ish ish minayim. Then why does it specifically say ish? Ish sipeg biyodulasas, ish ain't sipeg biyodulasas, and there's a shusacherim aleho. A woman is under someone else's authority. So Tosis has one pshat, and I'm not sure why Tosis, Rashi's pshat is very striking. Tosis says, even though her income normally goes to her husband, because he supports her. That's midrabbanan ba'alm. That's only midrabbanan. So midraisa, she's not brushus achayr. So Tosva says, "Bikomokimena mitzuya itzalavia el tumbayla." She lives in her husband's household and not necessarily in her parents' household. So the father, apparent, the husband, perhaps, maybe more normally live closer in their society to the parents. I don't know. I would have thought simply. Rashi says, "Rushus achayr is bayla." Sipik yochol shein mocha biyoda. There's no one to stand in his way. Rishus Acherim is Baila. The halacha states that if a woman has a conflict between Kibbut Av Va'Em and listening to her husband, the husband takes precedence. So therefore a married woman has a lesser chiv in Kibbut Av Va'Em than a man has, because a man has no one else that he has to answer to other than to his parents. So a married woman has a more complicated task yet. So that's the halacha. So there is somewhat of a difference, the Gemara says. Ultimately, halachas, they are both obligated, but at times a woman is conflicted. She has differing chiyuvim, which may not exactly match up, whereas a man is not conflicted in this way.
I was reading that if the woman has her husband and her father at the table in a house, that she's a servant of her father.
I don't know that necessarily to be the case. I don't know why. I mean, midrabbanan, there's a certain thing that since the father, it's true in the regard that we say halacha, that midrabbanan, that a son-in-law is mechuyev to give cover to his father-in-law. So from that standpoint, that's true. So in the standpoint, you believe it should not be a conflict. He also has a chiyev for cover. So therefore, in that regard, she should give her parents first. But suppose they have conflicting needs. That's a different story. Then a woman is much more difficult to sort out conflicting needs in life between the responsibilities to her husband and responsibilities to her own parents. Rabbi, there will not be a shir this next Tuesday. There's a chasen of the shul, so we'll have to meet the Tuesday after.
We have a new